Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Well, hello everyone, and we are back live. I'm Jason Ophir here with psychic medium Sherry for another episode of Paranormal Horizons, and hope everybody had a great holiday. And Sherry, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing all right. I told you how I spent my Thanksgiving. I was alone at home with not much food, and I was forced to make pancakes. I actually went out thinking that some place had to be open on Thanksgiving, some fast food or something, but I was wrong. I couldn't find anything open, and I had some pancake mix, and they were solid pancakes, so it wasn't too bad.
Well, your girlfriend, did she come over and bring any food home for you?
No, I didn't ask for any of that. I was not well prepared. There's food here, but it was just nothing I was interested in. I didn't want a can of chili or canned vegetables, and I thought pancakes was the most reasonable option, but I have since went and got groceries, so I'm looking forward to making some quesadillas this evening. But how was your holiday?
Oh, good. I was out of town. I was literally out of town, and I really enjoyed being at home. It was really nice. I was at home and out of town, so it was good. It was very, very good. Okay. So I'm really excited about listening to what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yes, we actually, we kind of deviate from the paranormal quite often just because it gets mundane. But tonight we decided to keep it, probably mostly paranormal, if not all paranormal. And the subject that I had come across was one I'm sure over the years we've talked about many times, which was possession, a.k.a. demonic possession, and all that. And I'm Captain Skeptical on the whole thing. I just think that mental illness and people on, antidepressants and all that could cause some fake possession, or have people to believe that they're possessed when they're not. We've heard in the past that possession's actually rather rare. When they go out to investigate a possession, I've heard that it's actually most of the time due to mental illness, but every once in a while, a case of what is believed to be true demonic possession happens. And so I've come across some of the most terrifying cases of possession throughout history. At least some I'm aware of, some I've never heard of. What's your take, Sherry, on possession? Do you think that's a real thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do believe that there's different stages of possession or influence.
I think that some people don't believe in it, but, if there's a negative, there's a positive. There's a negative, positive, positive, negative kind of thing. There's different people that have, whether it's four stages or five stages or six stages of that kind of thing. But, you're going to talk about that, and maybe I can talk about the different stages. And maybe it may be something that might be of interest to some people. Anybody, Jason, here I'm tongue tied tonight. Would you go and let people know what to call and everything, if they're willing to share or anything like that? They think they're willing to call, they could do that.
Yeah, if anybody wants to chime in on the conversation, you can call 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999. And we'll get you on as soon as we can once we get a little opening in the conversation. And so I can go ahead and just kind of list some of the more prominent cases of possession if you're ready for that, Sherry.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes.
And there's approximately 11 of them. Now, this first one I've heard of before because there was a movie based on the life of this person. If you've heard of the movie called The Exorcism of Emily Rose, that was based on a young lady by the name of Annalise Michael. She was a girl of 16 struggling with epilepsy, mental illness, and was exposed to a brutal exorcism and the rites associated with the exorcism in the wonderful year, the year of my birth, 1973. And she had a lot of strange behaviors like repelling religious artifacts, hearing mystical voices, and drinking her own urine. And so that's probably one of the most well-known cases. She died, I believe, don't quote me, I'm pulling this from memory, but I believe she died at some duration during the exorcism. And I want to say that they were trying to, or they did prosecute the priests and stuff like that as causing her death. But I don't remember off the top of my head what the result of that was. I want to say I thought that they were convicted, but then it was overturned at a later date. Have you heard of Annalise Michael?
No, never have. No.
Yeah. That one got a lot of attention, and I actually enjoyed the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose. It's kind of a scary one. So we have another one here. There's a person by the name of Clara Germana Selle. She was a student at St. Michael's Mission in South Africa. She confessed at some point to making a pact with Satan, and they believed that she was possessed in 1906 because she began to show unnatural impulses. She was also reported to levitate up to 5 feet and do a bunch of other stuff. Her exorcism was witnessed by over 170 people, where she knocked out Bibles, behaved wildly, and tried to strangle a priest with his own stole. Now, I don't know what a stole is, S-T-O-L-E. I'll have to Google that. But whatever a stole is, she tried to strangle a piece with it. That must be maybe the thing that's around their neck, you know, that thing they drape over their neck. That must be a stole, I'm guessing.
Is that a rosary?
Not a rosary, but you know that cloth that they drape over their neck and it goes down the front?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. There's a name for it, but I don't know what it is.
I'm guessing it's a stole. We'll have to Google that and see what that is. But a bunch of people swear that they ended up seeing her levitating. And, yeah. So, I mean, 170 people saw it. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's foolery, tomfoolery. There's a case that was documented in 2008 by Dr. Richard Gallagher, a psychiatrist in New York, that chronicles a story of one of his patients who he deemed to be possessed after seeing objects floating in the air. This late girl's name was Julia, and she apparently had these psychic abilities. She went on hateful rants and periodic levitation during the exorcism. The room apparently became excruciatingly hot while she vehemently repulsed holy water.
Oh, wow.
And she would go in these weird-ass trances, and she would eventually come out of them and have no memory of what happened.
Well, Jason, in your case, do you believe that exists?
I believe that people believe that it exists. The mental illness is so rampant. I mean, pretty much everybody has some degree of some neuroses, psychoses, be it anxiety, depression. But I also believe that we manifest stuff in our reality. If we have mental illness and we're predisposed to do weird things, then it could come across as being a possession. It would be interesting to know if any of these people had a religious upbringing, because I believe that could plant the seed of people, you know, acting like they're possessed. But I don't know. If it exists, truly exists, then I would imagine that it is super, super rare.
Yeah,
what are you doing? Sounds like you're moving.
Oh, I am moving. I'm walking. I've been on my butt a long time today. So, no, I did. I'm just, I'm moving and just taking care of a couple things before I sit down. But, a little hyper right now, you know.
Got too much energy.
I do. You know me. I'm kind of like the Energizer Bunny, right?
Yeah.
That's what my running partners would say. She is always the Energizer Bunny. Always going.
So if you want, I can just keep going down.
Keep on going down, and then we'll cover the different stages of possession.
All right, just checking the studio, see if anybody called, and they hadn't. All right, let's go to number three, an individual by the name of George Lukens. He was an English tailor in the 1700s. He was known to indulge in erratic behavior where he would sing and spoke in spooky voices and strange languages. And this was after he claimed to be possessed. He eventually became more hostile and animalistic in nature in the following years. Evidently, at some point, seven priests went and performed an exorcism, which resulted in him praising the Lord, and he thanked the priests for their help. This one particularly, to me, sounds a little more, this may be just mental illness, because some people just sound crazy. He didn't levitate. You know, if somebody levitates, it's like legit. Now, there are magic tricks and magicians do it all the time, levitating. So this one sounds a little bit on the tamer side.
Wow. Yeah,
so there was
some people are... Go ahead. Some people are possessed.
Yeah, I think some people end up possessing themselves. So there's an individual by the name of Roland Doe. And there were
Hello?
This and possessed. Apparently it was a story that was written. And apparently at some point he wanted to contact his dead aunt, so he whipped out the Ouija board. We've heard a lot about Ouija boards. A lot of strange things after he attempted to contact his aunt with the Ouija board started to happen. He would have mysterious scratches on his skin. Religious artifacts in the house would fly around. He'd hear weird noises. He would go into strange body contortions and levitate. He was subject to 30 exorcisms. And at some point, during the course of the exorcisms, he even injured the priests. And upon the final exorcism, it was very feral and violent, and there was a lot of anguish. But during the course of the exorcism, there was a sulfuric odor looming in the air. But apparently, he was cured of his possession. We've heard that before. Anytime you smell like rotting meat or sulfur, that could be a clue that there's some sort of demonic activity. And yeah, more levitation.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that doesn't sound very good, Jason.
No, the Ouija board. And, you know, it's funny is I used to play with Ouija boards all the time. But, no, I used to be into the occult.
Wow.
Like magic and Ouija boards and all tarot cards and pendulums. Oh, yeah, that used to be, like, my thing. I've since grown up since then. I don't dabble in any of those sort of things. I enjoy a life of ignorance and not opening myself up to energies that may not be in my best interest. So I've closed. That includes ghost hunting because I used to do that.
You were an avid paranormal investigator at one time when I first came on Paranormal Horizons. But so 7 years ago, you were really a big participant on that kind of thing. You even came to my house and worked on my home. You brought some of your equipment and things. It was quite interesting.
Yeah, I started doing that in 2008, and I probably did it somewhere to 2018. And then there was a lot of drama within the group, and I think I told you. And so just basically the individual that I started the group with basically stole the group and forced me out, and I've since not had anything to do with this person. But it was fine. It's fine. It pissed me off at the time, but it's fine because, while I did experience and get evidence of things that I can't explain, I also was smart enough to realize that, you know, if something is out there, why would I intentionally put myself at risk? You know, I wasn't stupid either. I mean, every time I did an investigation, man, I had this internalized prayer of protection just in case, because you never knew. We mostly did people's houses, so it wasn't like we go to these public places. We did one public place, the White Eagle in Portland, which is an old bar, but it was mostly people's houses, word of mouth. Hey, I think my house is haunted. Why don't you come out? And we'd go out there, and I would be the guy that would review the EVPs and all that. And so it was interesting. But I don't plan on getting back into it. I kind of want to, but at the same time, it's like, so I don't know. I might do an investigation every now and then since I have this stuff, but it's not something that I would do regularly.
Excellent. Okay, next.
Arnie Cheyenne Johnson. He was marked in history for being the first person to plead innocent on account of demonic possession. Arnie's case is well known as the Demon Murder Trial. Apparently, he was claiming a lot of strange things, such as presences of an apparition with demonic eyes and beastly features. The reason this went to trial is because he stabbed his landlord while growling, and he eventually got convicted, serving a sentence of 5 years, which is interesting considering the typical sentence for killing somebody is a lot longer, at least 10 to 20 years, if not life. So he tried to claim the demonic possession thing, and apparently it worked. So that might be a viable defense if you end up killing someone, which I hope you don't do, because that's got to be bad juju.
Interesting. Wow. That's crazy. Oh, that's not good at all. Oh,
absolutely.
Boy.
Now, this one is a little bit more disturbing. Person by the name of Anna Eklund. It's a grotesque story of a 14-year-old girl born in 1882 and is it's infamously known as the Earl, as an Earl Earl-ing possession. She was cursed by the witchcraft practiced by her father and aunt. Anna became intolerant towards religious artifacts. She was sexually vile and couldn't set foot in a church. A successful attempt at exorcism was made, but the demonic possession was back, came back, and it's crazy. She hissed, threw away blessed food, levitated, spoke foreign languages, and could cling onto the walls like a spider monkey.
She would deform
herself in appearance, and after 23 days and 3 exhaustive exorcisms, she was eventually cured of the possession.
Huh. That's interesting. Oh, wow.
Yeah, cursed by your own family, that's pretty messed up. That's not great.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. That's another one. You know, we can talk about hexes. Oh, I think we covered that. Hexes, vexes, curses, those kind of things. Oh, interesting. Wow.
Wait, there's been so many episodes of Paranormal Horizons that we've talked about the same things at least a dozen times. I try and think of things that we could talk about. We've talked about everything. I mean, literally,
we have.
I can't think of anything we haven't talked about. And it would take exhaustive research to figure out something. And whatever we would find paranormal to talk about would be so obscure nobody would ever have heard of it.
Yeah, I know. What have we done all these years? Yeah, it's been a lot of episodes to talk about everything and anything and in between. Well, do we want to break and go and talk about the 4 degrees of demonic possession?
Sure. Why don't you kick that off? We'll take a break, and I'll get back to it in a little bit.
Okay. So just to break things up a little bit, we're going to talk about the 4 degrees of demonic possession. And possession doesn't happen overnight. It is a process. It also requires an open door. It can be, and not necessarily, but it can be playing with a Ouija board or attending or conducting seances, even going on a ghost hunt with friends. You just never know. You just never know what you're going to encounter. So no matter how innocent one's intentions are, dark entities or dark spirits can take advantage of any type of opportunity. In the 1990s book, Exorcist tells the story, Father Gabriel Amos, chief exorcist of Rome, who passed away in September 16th at the age of 91, identified the following stages of demonic activity. So this is really concise to the point, and we can go over later on. Number one is infestation. This is a haunted house type of stuff. You hear footsteps, voices, apparitions, furniture, other objects moving without human agency, odors with no discernible source, infestation. Rather than directly affecting people, infestation affects only the property, objects, or even animals. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So number two. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I smell, you know, weird things all the time. And, you know, when I was living in that haunted basement, you know, stuff would move around. I never really took it as being demonic in nature, but maybe it was. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. We can get somebody else's take. So number two is oppression. Activities step up with the physical attacks. Sleeping disturbances, including nightmares, frequent and severe illnesses, depression, anxiety, severe financial and employment problems, relationship problems. While these things happen in a normal course of life, all of them happening all at once in a rapid succession could be a sign of demonic possession or demonic presence. Okay? The third one is obsession. As the name implies, as this stage is afflicting, the person has a hard time functioning, being constantly preoccupied, thoughts of demonic activity commanding his or her life, and frequently thoughts of suicide as well. Sleep becomes nearly impossible. All of these three stages can be addressed by a competent minister or pastor. However, the last stage is reserved for the official exorcist. So the last final stage is possession. Contrary to popular belief, possession is not demonic entering a person's body necessarily and taking his or her soul. Not necessarily. A person's free will is never removed, only severely compromised. In possession, a person is physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually broken down by going through other stages that demonic spirits are able to seize occasional, big case-related letters, occasional control over that person's actions. So, telltale signs of possessions include superhuman strength, speaking in tongues that the victim wouldn't even know, inordinate aversion to holy objects, knowledge of events and facts the victim could not possibly know. According to Diocese of San Jose exorcist Gary Thomas, his story was made famous in the book and movie The Rite. Changes in facial features, telltale signs do not include 360 degree turn head spins. Okay, just go for it. It had to be. Okay.
Yes, that would be anatomically very difficult to have a 360 degree head rotation and still survive, possessed or otherwise. All right. I don't know how to pronounce this name. Gottleben Dietis was brought up in a superstitious household and grew up to be religious. In 1842, when she was 28 years old, her house blared of violent noises and people saw furniture colliding. There were strange sounds of unexplained scrapes, and the house was labeled as haunted. Gottleben Dietis affirmed that a woman's spirit holding a baby visited during the night. She also endured blackouts and trances that would make her forget intense fits. It was documented that her conversations were mediated by a supernatural being. I don't know how you document that. With time, about 100 spirits overtook her, claiming they were victims of demonic possessions and trying to escape the evil. So essentially 100 different spirits were tormenting her and they were victims of demonic possessions. Looking at a picture of this lady, and she looks scary as it is, so I'm going to scroll down.
Okay.
Michael Taylor, a man of religion. And see, this is the commonality I see here. It's like when people are brought up religious, you know, they're taught fire and brimstone and all this, and it just, to me, a lot of times that can just plant a seed in somebody that has mental instability, you know. But anyway, Michael Taylor, he began to act out, indulging in obscenity and profanity after his wife accused him of having an affair in 1974. After his immoral behavior accelerated, he consulted clergy, and a 24-hour exorcism was performed that discharged 40 demons from his body. However, what remains freakish here is that the priest warned him of a dormant demon of murder still finding refuge inside of him. After he was told this, he returned to his home, where he barbarically murdered his wife and dog.
Oh, wow.
The question that I would have is, would he have murdered his wife and dog had he not been told that he has a murderous demon in him? I kind of actually doubt it. That seed was put into his brain by the clergy. He was a religious man, so we know that, you know, if he's super religious or whatnot, that this whole hell and demons and all that's already in his brain. So I don't know. That was certainly not something the clergy should have told him, because I believe that could have affected his actions in murdering his family and his dog, or his wife and his dog.
Some people are kind of wacky anyway, huh? You wonder if there is really something, or like mental disorders.
We see these people that take religion to the next level. I mean, are just like, if you don't believe what I believe in, you're going to burn in hell, fire and brimstone and all this, and just like live, eat, sleep, and breathe religion. And I don't know. To me, I don't understand it. You know, you get fanatics. You get fanatics of everything, you know, religious and everything else. And I think when you get fanatical and obsessed with a particular thing, it's unhealthy, even when it's religion. Just my opinion. Now, here's one that I'm pretty certain you would have heard of. Have you heard of David Berkowitz?
I've heard of David Berkowitz, yes.
A.K.A. the son of Sam.
Okay.
He was a serial killer who made New York tremble in the 70s. He was also known as the 44 caliber killer. He was confirmed that he killed 6 people, with 7 wounded in what was known as the Summer of Sam. After he was taken into custody, he confessed all his crimes and asserted that a demon residing in his neighbor's dog ordered the killings. He was incarcerated for 6 life sentences. He also admitted to being part of a satanic cult, and he apparently was doing the murders as some part of like ritual offering. I wonder if he's still alive. I think he might have died.
But
a lot of serial killers. Yeah. I mean, America breeds the greatest serial killers. Like, there's some really epic serial killers in, like, South America that have killed hundreds of people. Russia has a couple really terrible ones, like Chikatilo. But America, Americans and serial killers, it's like bread and butter. You got the Dahmers. Yeah. You got the Bundys. You got the Gacys. Yeah. Crazy. People just need to chill and, like, be nice to people instead of, like, murdering them in their sleep.
Yeah, definitely. Get more positive impact and everything. Definitely. Wow. Interesting. Do you remember Brian Willett? He used to be a guest of ours.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a hold of. He's busy, but he literally wrote about, what can happen in his own words on the different phases. So he calls it the stage number one. He calls it identification. He says the first stage, Brian Willett says, that someone won't be able to tell if their problem is physical, mental, or spiritual. You wouldn't be able to know the difference between anxiety, depression, or something spiritual. So in those cases, it's best to just keep your spiritual life as healthy as possible. Do the things as a normal Christ-like person would do. Make sure to go see a doctor if you need to. The second stage is escalation. The second stage, Brian Willett says, is the symptoms getting stronger and harder to explain away. It starts to get even more severe, but again, not completely different from mental illness. This is where you see suicidal ideation, night terrors, nightmares, and loss of reality. And the third one is demonic obsession. For someone to be on the third stage of demonic obsession or demonic attack, Willett says that he has to be able to rule out anything physical. Here we have to see any physical illness that traditional treatment does not resolve. The big factor is they have a long medical or psychiatric history and nothing is working. You're talking to a doctor, psychiatrist, counselor, you don't know what else to do. Then you have some of the identifying markers of a demonic attack. And the last stage is demonic oppression.
in this stage and final stage, Ouellette says, is very rare. That's what you were talking about earlier. People start exhibiting exaggerated forms of symptoms typical to a position. The ability to speak in languages or in tongues, and they have a study, superhuman strength, clairvoyance. Their people start looking like a snake, and in every case, they have a disdain for religious or blessed objects. Sometimes they even see ordinary things like levitation, doppelgangers, disturbances in the environment. These are things that just can't be explained except in a spiritual way. Interesting. Wow.
Very, very scary.
I would love to have him back on the show. The guy, I mean, I like the way he explains things. They're so concise, but they're so, easy to understand in, layman terms that it just, it's very easy to understand. We've had him on our show many, many times. Many, many times. So it's good to maybe one of these days have him back.
I'll be honest. I don't even like talking about this. The only reason I'm talking about it is because I think we need to talk about it every once in a while, and it's been a while. But it makes me uncomfortable talking about this.
It's all about being, I think to me, it's about awareness.
Absolutely. And that's why we're here. So I'm stepping into my uncomfortability. Because I'll be honest, if it kind of freaks me out. I'm skeptical, yes, but it still freaks me out. And sitting
yeah,
down
not something...
in my living
yeah,
room,
he...
looking over my
definitely.
Shoulder.
You want to definitely be careful. You don't want to take it for granted that, it's all about being mindful and not taking things for granted, right?
Absolutely. I've got two more. Let's bust through these last two, and they're good ones.
Okay, cool.
Family known as the Smurls family. That's an interesting last name, Smurls. This family had quite the traumatic experiences back in 1974 when their house started emitting nasty odors. Their dog got smacked across the rooms. Children were shoved downstairs. And the members of the household got attacked physically and sexually. Paranormal investigators concluded the house harbored a potent, spiteful spirit, and many exorcisms were performed time and time again. Eventually, consistent prayers and rituals were eventually able to diminish the power of the demonic entity. Like, how do you know that's just not a poltergeist or a really bad haunting?
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine it's just how you feel. Something doesn't feel. It's like, something you want to, I think for me, it's how I feel, what as a psychic medium, what kind of impressions and if I know of any history or anything like that, and just by looking at the location.
Yeah. I'm glad none of that stuff is happening here. I mean, I have some weird things that happen every now and then, but I bet weird things happen just about anywhere. All right, so
mm-hmm.
The last one, probably one of the most recent ones, the Amons family, which, if I remember correctly, was the special that Ghost Adventures did on the Demon House. Did you see that? You probably didn't see it.
No. No.
So apparently there was this demon house. Zach Baggins bought the house, and he did a movie on the house, which is actually, I don't know if it's real or not, but it was pretty freaky, and I don't remember. I think it's just called the Demon House. So this family lived there, and what kind of sets this apart from the other possessions and hauntings and stuff like that is a lot of this stuff happened with like people there, not just any people, like the police or child services, like witnessed this stuff. So these things were
mm-hmm.
happening in this house. They eventually got the hell out of the house, and then Zach Baggins bought it and did the movie there, and then they demolished the house. But this is what was going on with the Ammons family. It began in 2014. Clouds of flies accumulated near their house, walls emanated creepy noises and wet footprints appeared on the floors. The mother believed the spirits were preying on her three children, and she also reported her son walking up backwards on the wall and across the ceiling. Now, if I remember correctly, that was one of the events where there were several people, including child services and the police, in the room watching this child walk backwards up the wall. Another one was smacked across the room, and apparently one of the daughters was levitating while being unconscious. The kids spoke in grave tones, giggled evilly, their eyes rolled in the back of their heads. And because, like I said, people were there, the authorities got convinced of a demonic presence. And, yeah, so that I think that's probably one of the most compelling cases, just because, you know, you got the police there and you got all these other people there. So it's not just like people claiming. Now, maybe it's fake.
Right.
I don't believe it's fake in the sense that, you know, they just faked the whole thing and the police were there and witnessed it. But these other people saw it and they swear by it. I mean, it's hard to refute, you know, a police captain that was in the living room with two other social workers saying, and all of them saying the same thing, that this person walked backwards up the wall. That's kind of hard to disprove, you know what I mean? It's not like the family just saying, oh, my kid's walking on the walls. You got the cops right there. So
that's scary, isn't it? That would be scary to actually witness something like that.
Yeah, I would be interested to see something like that, to see if I could find an explanation. I'm always investigative in nature. You know, I spent 18 years doing investigations, private investigations, stuff like that. I'd be curious to kind of see that and see if there was an explanation.
Yeah, that would be really interesting.
So one of the things with poltergeists and hauntings, and I kind of believe this, is it was observed a long time ago where people had objects moving and having poltergeist activity, and it seemed to happen or a lot of times around children that were on the cusp or during puberty. And the theory was that they're actually creating this activity in some unknown way, you know, on some psychic level, unconsciously. And in a lot of cases, I kind of wonder if that's the case. It's like they're just a portion of their brain is just unlocked where they can unconsciously cause physical manifestations, like things moving or entities appearing and stuff like that. But anyway, I always wondered about that, that, you know, maybe this isn't like a spirit that's haunting us. What if it's the people are manifesting it into this reality?
They could be. It could be. You never know.
I mean, creating it from nothing. Not drawing in a spirit, but actually creating the spirit. And I think that there's some science that, in a way, kind of almost could substantiate that, in the sense that, you know, they've quantum mechanics and stuff like that. And, you know, what was it, Schrodinger's box, you know, particles react differently based on whether they're being observed or not, which I believe was proven. They were able to, I don't know, isolate a particle of something. It was an electron. I don't know. But when it was being observed by an observer, a human, it behaved different just based on it being observed. And so I wonder if a lot of this is, you know, we're manifesting things, you know. But maybe that's too far out there. I don't know. I'm a deep thinker.
I don't know anything about this stuff, and I don't deal with the dark side, so I, you know, this is really interesting, but I think it's a matter of being aware, number one, but also having respect, you know, that like I said in the radio show, you don't ever want to taunt them. You don't want to give them acknowledge or anything, just to know that they are there, but just leave them alone. That's the best way. So there's four ways to protect yourself against dark entities. And, you know, they are magnet, they're drawn to low level, you know, people that are not of the highest good, you know, they're not, you know, it doesn't have to be just drugs, people that are, you know, kind of shady, not honest, you know, those kind of things. They can be drawn to people like that. That's what it says. So, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, it's not clear and concise. It could be just, it could be people that are, you know, could be from alcohol to drug abuse to people that lie, to people that are not honest, you know, and things like that. So, you know, it could be, you just have to be very careful. And they do live on the astral plane, if they do. And they can just pick anybody to, you know, decide to go and attach themselves or just come inside. It doesn't have to be. And just because you go to church and you're a Christian doesn't mean it's going to save yourself from any type of, you know, any type of attachment either. You know, you could be a Christian, but you could be a person that, you know, is not, you know, like a person who lies to people or don't tell the full story, or people that are not, you know, transparent or have, you know, things that are, doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol based. That's what I see. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're under the influence of any kind of intoxicant, it just, it alters you and your thoughts and your brain waves and everything else. So if those things exist, then it would make sense that they would be easier for them to, you know,
attach themselves. It's a character thing. I think a lot of it is your character. If you're a person that are willing to do things for other people, strangers, helping mankind, having compassion of your family, having compassion of people that have less than you, you know, those are things that are raising your vibration. But if you're the kind of person where, you know, you may not be an alcoholic or a drug addict, you don't have to be, but you're the kind of person that rips your family off or lies to your family or, you know, not, you know, you may not be, you know, of the highest good, you know, they're going to, that's low vibrational stuff. That's totally it. So you want to be able to be character with integrity, honesty, integrity, love, that kind of thing, whether it's family or people, strangers. It doesn't matter. You just want to be that kind of a person. That's what I see. Very attracted to those kind of low vibrations that I just mentioned. So, yeah, you're very vulnerable. And just because, like I said, you can go to church, you can be a spiritual person, but your character, if you're not, you know, like I said, if you cheat people and you lie or not disclose things, or, you know, you're not a transparent person, it attracts those kind of things. It doesn't necessarily have to be drugs and alcohol. Praying does help. I think praying will help. It helps. Also, changing your thoughts and changing your character will help. It will, like I just said, raise your vibration. This is just what I'm feeling, okay? That will raise your vibration. Doing things that will help you, less stress, you know, being able to go and just to try and get some sleep, just being mindful of your thoughts, feelings, and actions, and to clear out different negative energies. You're always around negative energies, whether it's your family, whether it's friends, going to the store, things like that. But it's just being mindful and not being around people that are in that kind of space. That helps too. You don't want to go in a room with negative people or a bunch of people that are thieves and you become one of them yourselves. You know, it becomes a game. So you want to be able to be with positive people that are helping people, helping society, being able to raise their vibration, loving, having unconditional love, compassion, not just for your family, but just in humanity and as a whole. That's how I feel. That's just me.
Well, I totally agree. I think that, you know, a lot of everything has to do with intention and the power of intention. And I also think that we are the masters of our own reality. if you don't open yourself up to it, if you're not drawing stuff in, and if something comes to you to harass you spiritually, you're in control of the reality. You're the one that's going to allow it in. You're the one that it's going to, you're going to allow to affect it.
Right.
If these things exist, like we were talking earlier, drugs and all that, they are approaching you because you're in a weakened state. And why put yourself in that state? And, you know, you have to hold firm and you have to be clear that you do not allow these negative energies to exist within your body, mind, spirit, within your house. And you have to make that conscious manifestation that you are not going to allow that. And I believe that protects you. Why would that entity want to bother with somebody with that kind of mindset when they could go down the block and find somebody loaded on crack and torment them?
Exactly.
Why harass a fighter? It makes no sense. Anyway, that's my two cents.
That really does. I know. So that's where I'm at. It's just kind of trying to raise my vibration to, you know, knowing that it's a win-win situation. I want to help people. I want to help my family. I want to help, you know, society, making it we all love each other and everybody comes out a winner, not just one me, you know, kind of person. Yeah. There's so much to go around. There's so much love and money to go around. Why be stingy? You know, it's just kind of,
I was thinking the other day, and I was in a mode of deep thought about, you know, the purpose of the universe, purpose of my life and all this. And maybe, I don't know if this was a divine message or it was just my brain pulling out some logical thought. But what popped in my head, and it made a lot of sense, was one word. And that one word is balance. Everything is balanced. That's how it can exist. Positive, negative, light, dark, sweet, salty, microscopic, macroscopic. You know, everything, this universe is in balance, which means you're going to have the negative energies and you're going to have the positive energies. They have to have each other to exist, just like you have to have mean people and nice people. Without one, the whole reality collapses. Everything's in perfect balance, which leads me to believe that there is some sort of unified energy, or I don't want to say God, because that's kind of a really not the right word. But there is a source that keeps everything in balance. I don't know. That's just what popped into my head.
It's all about
intelligent
balance.
Or otherwise. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be intelligent, but there's a fabric of something that is maintaining the balance in the universe. What that means, I don't know.
Educated. That's very profound, Jason. For you, that's very profound. I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome. Wow.
I was seeking answers, and I don't know why that one word popped into my head, and I thought about it, and I was like, you know, that makes sense. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's you want to strive for better.
Yeah, and you can pick a
side. Absolutely.
Maybe good and bad, it doesn't matter which side it is. But you're on one side or the other, and there's going to be people that are kind of skirting in between each side, but it's all part of this larger balance in the universe.
It's all about balance. I try and preach that.
Yeah, and that's true with everything. I mean, if you eat, you know, fast food every day, it's going to eventually take its toll. That's why everything's in moderation. It's part of the balance, everything.
Yep.
See, I'm getting all animated now. That everything is, there's a balance to everything. And when things are out of balance, your body, whatever, the ocean, you know, fish die, you know, it's anyway, okay, I'm going off now, and I'm hungry.
No, it's true. Absolutely. It's all about balance. And sometimes it's very difficult, but we can strive to be balanced. And it's just, you know, trying to get, yeah, body, mind, and spirit. And that's how in Chinese medicine we try and create that balance. Because when there's an imbalance, there's problems with the psyche, and there's also the spiritual end, and there's problems with the physical end. So it's all about, like you said, balance. Yeah.
I'm going to go get that word tattooed on my forehead now.
Thank you for sharing, Jason.
Wow, I've been thinking about it for several days, and I just, do I think it was a spiritual message? Maybe. What am I to learn from it? I don't know, but what it does is it makes me consciously acknowledge the fact that everything is balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And when things are unbalanced to one side, you know, and then they can be unbalanced in the other side. I mean, it's like a wave. It's just, but everything is encompassed in one huge universal sphere of balance. And it doesn't necessarily have to be balanced every millisecond, but it might sway one way or the other, but it's always going to come back into balance and then shift out of balance and then back, you know, but it's contained.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be like a total inspirational person now. I'm going to write a book and I'll be famous and rich.
Wow. Yeah. So, well, we're getting close to time, Jason. It looks like, yeah, we're getting close to the hour, and we talked about many things. And, you know, raise your vibration, all about raising your vibration and thinking about love and what can we do to add value to not just the people that, you know, our family, but what can we do to add value to their lives and not expect anything to return. Hopefully that, you know, they'll return it sooner or later, but it's all about helping each other. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, pick a side.
And I'm learning. I'm very well about that. Giving about myself having to catch up outcomes. And not having to go and talk to people about it either. That's another reason, too.
Well, with that, I'm going to eat a well-balanced meal. That's going to include a salad.
Good for you. Good for you.
Well, the other side of it is the quesadilla, but, you know, I'm balancing it out with some veggies.
I love quesadillas. Wow. So thank you, everybody, for following us on Paranormal Horizons. And thank you to not only liking us but following us. And anybody, I'm going to just plug myself in really quick. Anybody wants to talk to me and be able to do some Chinese medicine, medical Qigong therapy, the fourth branch in Chinese medicine, you can get a hold of me at Facebook the first time. Get a hold of me either on Facebook, which is Psychic Medium Sherry, it's C-H-E-R-I, and just contact me in the contact form, or you can get a hold of me on my website at www.psychicmediumsherry.com, all small case, C-H-E-R-I.com. Go ahead and fill out the contact form, and in between clients, I'll get back to you, and we'll schedule Chinese medicine, psychic or mediumship readings. That's pretty much about it. It's good to be back, Jason. Yeah.
Well, I hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and we will either be back live next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time, or with an old show. I haven't decided yet, but I'm glad to be live with you tonight, Sherry, and hope you have a great week, and hope all the listeners have a great week, and stay positive.
Yeah, take care of everybody. Take care of your health. Be healthy, and raise your vibration. Help other people. Bring a big smile and hug. And, yes, Jason and I, love and peace.
Love and peace, and I'm going to go vibrate to the kitchen and make dinner. Good night, everyone.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.